It's easy to imagine numerous companies that depend on imports for production purposes and now face a new set of challenges with heightened enforcement. But let us hope that many companies are prepared for these tariffs and any disruptions caused to develop alternative supply chain options. And we went through this in the pandemic for the first time, which exposed weaknesses in the supply chain, in everybody's supply chain. And I think we're going to see disruption that can come about with regard to these tariffs.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Well, hello, everyone. Mike Volkoff here for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. And the dust is settling, and for all the drama surrounding the Trump administration's refocus on FCPA enforcement, the picture is becoming a little bit clearer. And I think when cooler heads prevail, it's much easier to pick through the relevant issues and then prioritize what you should be thinking about in the legal and compliance world. But first, let's put this in perspective. The FCPA pause has to be considered in the context of a long list of increasing risks that companies face, given the topsy-turvy world we live in. DOJ has identified, for example, DEI as a key priority for enforcement by the Civil Rights Division. For entities that receive federal funding, this is now a risky area under discrimination laws, but more importantly, it can tie into the False Claims Act and be tied to false certifications of compliance in this area. And we're going to see this affect government contracting in a big way in terms of the removal of a certification of compliance with DEI policies before under the Biden administration. Companies that also have large workforces are about to witness an increase in workplace immigration raids, let alone other more vigorous enforcement actions in the immigration field. And then to top all this off, add trade compliance. Tariffs, regulatory restrictions, sanctions, and other issues of concern have to be prioritized. So with respect to FCPA enforcement and risk, keep in mind that global companies are unlikely to make much of a change. You're not going to dismantle your anti-corruption program. You're not going to proactively go out and commit bribery. No, it's an important element of your ethics and compliance program, which is not to engage in bribery, which violates other laws besides the FCPA, just to avoid DOJ enforcement. Instead, we know that ethical companies that maintain a culture of compliance are better performers in the marketplace. No sane CEO is going to dismantle a compliance program, much less one that prohibits bribery and corruption. To that end, the global marketplace has spoken on this issue for years. The OECD Convention on Anti-Bribery, along with a myriad of country-specific laws, have not been paused or repealed. Indeed, companies still face risks from foreign bribery enforcement in the UK Bribery Act, the Clean Companies Act in Brazil, Sapin 2 in France, and others. But for sure, we can say that global companies may not face the risk of a DOJ investigation and will not incur expenses flowing from a costly internal investigation, remedial actions, and serious penalties. But that does not mean that some other jurisdictions may not pick up the slack, and we'll have to see. We also do not know yet what the SEC will do as a result of the executive order. I expect, however, that the SEC will quickly follow suit and pause their own investigations. Let me raise a picky question. When we say FCPA enforcement has been paused, does this extend to internal controls and books and records in a non-bribery case? These provisions are important for overall SEC enforcement purposes and used in a variety of contexts outside of bribery. We also have to look at updating your risk priorities for the new Trump administration. As I like to use the term topsy-turvy world, It's a little bit of an exaggeration, but we should see soon a shuffling of corporate risks at the board level, C-suite, and legal and compliance and risk management teams. And we need to take a hard look at your risks and reassess and re-rank them. Some basic and technology risks will stay the same. Cybersecurity, data privacy, artificial intelligence are all at the top, and rightfully so. Nothing needs to change in these areas, except perhaps relative ranking with others. Two other areas, however, are in a state of flux and need to be monitored. Anti-corruption and antitrust enforcement is starting to take shape, but the next few months should provide more insights. Well, we've talked about the FCPA enforcement pause, and the nature and scope of that pause is not really going to be defined until the guidance is issued, which is going to come out in about 6 months. The shape of antitrust enforcement is becoming clear. Last week, President Trump's nominee to head the antitrust division, Gail Slater, had a confirmation hearing. She is a well-known antitrust attorney and a committed professional. And at her confirmation hearing, she confirmed continued attention to high-tech competition issues, but noted that current cases may be re-examined because of the drain on resources. At the same time, however, and more importantly for compliance professionals, in my view, is the importance of ongoing criminal antitrust enforcement matters. And she said that that is picking up a lot of speed and expected in enforcement in this area to continue at a heightened rate. But let's try to divine with our divining rod new risks. And we've seen increased emphasis already at this point on tariff and trade compliance, heightened immigration enforcement, and promises of workplace immigration raids, increased focus on criminal cartels and transnational criminal organization, increased focus on federal government grants, potential fraudulent activity relating to grant purposes and accounting, government officials, government workers, government people who have been acting in the grant area may come under more investigation. I expect that. And lastly, the prohibition of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs and the enforcement of anti-discrimination laws and regulations. Within each of these topics, companies have to examine carefully how their businesses may touch on these issues. Here are some basic questions. Does your company export or import products as part of sales and manufacturing processes? If so, the impact of potential trade tariffs and compliance have to be reassessed. Does your company import or export products to or from regions or countries in risky transshipment regions or countries, such as the UAE and Dubai, northern China, close to North Korea, Eastern Europe, and Turkey? Number three, does your company export dual-use U.S. origin items to China or other countries of potential heightened concern? If so, can your technology be employed for potential military, artificial intelligence, or other sensitive technology uses, chip manufacturers being the most important there? Number four, does your company conduct business or operate in any high-risk countries near cartel or transnational criminal organizations where they operate? To the extent your company operates in these areas, what steps, if any, does your company take to ensure that third parties, vendors, and suppliers have no connection, directly or indirectly, with cartels or TCOs? Five, does your workforce include immigrant workers? If so, non-U.S. citizen workers, what steps are taken to ensure compliance with workplace laws? Has your human resource office conducted an immigration compliance audit to see that your I-9s and other paperwork is completed for every employee? How much of your revenues also is earned through government contracts? Have you conducted a compliance audit with government contract requirements and conditions, which are lengthy? Eight, what steps, if any, are taken to ensure accurate bookkeeping of government contract revenues and costs? Have these activities been audited? Nine, when was the last assessment conducted of your government contracting ethics and compliance program? And finally, did your company implement a diversity, equity, and inclusion program? And if so, what was the nature of the program and how did it operate? Well, I want to go to one other topic before we finish today, and we'll come back to more of this as time goes on. But I wanted to talk about import enforcement and compliance risks, because this is where I see with tariffs this is going to be a significant area of concern. And it's easy to imagine numerous companies that depend on imports for production purposes and now face a new set of challenges with heightened enforcement. But let us hope that many companies are prepared for these tariffs and any disruptions caused to develop alternative supply chain options. And we went through this in the pandemic for the first time, which exposed weaknesses in the supply chain, in everybody's supply chain. And I think we're going to see disruption that can come about with regard to these tariffs. We've seen the potential already when President Trump threatened to impose 25% tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico, only to back down after securing concessions from both countries. Recently, the Trump administration is pushing the idea of reciprocal tariffs. Whatever is imposed on U.S. exports, we will impose on imports. As an initial step, the Trump administration issued two orders adjusting imports of steel and aluminum into the United States. The new action expands Section 232 tariffs by ending all country exemptions, phasing out the specific product exclusion process, and terminating all general approved exclusions. And a lot of people, I think, were rushing to get those exclusions before these announcements. The administration actions raised the aluminum tariffs from 10 to 25%, added downstream products to tariff coverage, and created an exemption process for imported derivative articles made from steel and aluminum in the United States. With these and more expected tariffs, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, CBP, will be aggressively pursuing importers that attempt to manipulate country of origin regulations to circumvent higher tariffs. In this area, companies may seek to avoid, let's say, Chinese import fees by designing routine assembly operations to avoid imposition of Section 301 duties. Imports from China, Southeast Asia, Mexico, and Canada will be targeted for enforcement. In the past year, Customs has heightened enforcement of the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act, and this will continue to be used for leverage against the Chinese. Supply chain mapping and assessments should be done, and it should be done now on your to-do list. Global companies, thereby, you'll discover, are facing a fast-evolving set of import risks. Companies should expect rising tariffs, and depending on your specific industries, the amount of these tariffs could be significant. And they're likely to go against imports from China and Vietnam based on anti-dumping and countervailing duty orders. Those should be tracked, and these filings should be monitored for potential impact. Further, companies have to prepare for renegotiation of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement before the 2026 date. The Trump administration may push for concessions this year, and already CPB has been enforcing complex regulations for origin and content requirements, and this level of scrutiny will increase. Customs enforcement is also a growing risk, and companies need to invest in their import operations, including automated commercial environment, your ACE data, your accuracy and audits, and other customs compliance areas, particularly review of import documentation, country of origin determinations, tariff classifications. Another ripe area is valuation methods for duty calculation, tracking and correct payment of duties. Companies need to leverage opportunities here to reduce costs, gain competitive advantages, and also minimize enforcement risks. In a high tariff environment, companies need to look for opportunities to avoid these duties through free trade zones, proper classifications, bonded warehouses, and other strategies to increase savings. Additionally, and most importantly, is identifying alternative suppliers from lower tariffed areas. I know that's obvious, but it's still something that really needs to be done as we move forward in this year. Well, that's it for a quick talk about current risk areas, and we're going to get back to other areas and talk about cartels, TCOs, and risks that come up from interacting with them in our next podcast. Thanks a lot, folks, and we'll see you next week for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkov, go to volkovlaw.com.